Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I will have you know, as we're performing air guitar solos right now. While we're doing the show, Mark's got a, hey, he's got a lead guitar. I got the rhythm guitar. Carl's probably got the air drums.
I got the drums, but, yes. Thank you, Malcolm.
Yeah, absolutely.
The late Malcolm.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. A lot of talk in this past week with the congressional hearings about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. And, man, I was glued to a lot of that. Got nothing from the Secret Service. Got a little bit more from the local law. And then there was some more. But of course, anybody that wears tinfoil or on their head or, you know, has ideas or been down rabbit holes that I've been down, there's still so many answers that we don't know. That's about true. A lot of stuff.
This is very true.
On site, I saw one person on Instagram. By the way, my wife would say, it's called an Instagram reel, but is it R-E-E-L or R-E-A-L? That there were possibly three different types of firearms. You know, the one that everybody thinks Crooks, they think he did, you know, he shot eight shots according to the FBI, but there was somebody analyzing the audio of the gunshots and saying, no, these are two different weapons. And then you have the final that took out Crooks. It's just a mess. It's a mess, Mark.
As long as we don't have the Warren Commission investigating, and they are going to, I think, appoint a special commission. The House is looking into that. But, you know, I mean, the Warren Commission reached some really strange conclusions in JFK's death. And we'll see what happens here, but ultimately ballistics tests should tell us the truth about that in the long run. You're right. There's that. Of course, President Biden announcing that he's not going to run for president next time around, although he wants to assure the nation from his speech the other night that he's still perfectly fine to finish out the last 6 months, like in the basement, going to bed every night at 8 o'clock. And in the meantime, the Russian and Chinese are testing our borders with their aircraft up near Alaska the same night that he's speaking. I mean,
and as I understand it, you're going to supervise that operation and take a look at what's going on up there. Is that correct?
Somebody's got to do it, Bo Matthews. I'm going to voluntarily get on an airplane and fly to Alaska, and I'm going to be watching the skies as I'm casting my fly reel for some salmon.
I've heard, okay, you're big fish. Everybody knows Mark Cox is big fish. Do you have a lot of experience fly fishing?
No, I don't. I've been fly fishing a handful of times. I've learned the technique. I've been down near the Arkansas border. I've been fly fishing down there. I was fly fishing in Montana last year when I was up there. Where we're going is a place called Cooper's Landing, just outside of Anchorage on the Kenai. And we will, the guide gives you all the equipment. So I don't have to worry about what weight fly rod I've got or anything like that. They know the size of the line you need. They take care of everything. And it's you know, basically you just have to show up in the right
gear. This is like Carl's VIP fishing trip to Canada. So yeah. Have you been working on your abs? Because, you know, there's a lot of twisting with fly fishing. Are you ready for it?
This is funny because Carl and I were talking about this earlier. The only preparation I've been doing for this are 12-ounce curls because the guys I'm going fishing with have a reputation for consuming a lot of beverages during this 4 or 5 day trip.
Hence the have a drink on me.
Yeah, thank you, Carl. I
okay, well, I'll give you this. Because you have been moving, you've been lifting boxes, so let's call that a workout.
My back
for your
hurts.
Abs.
My feet hurt, yeah, but we finally got the move through. Here's the thing, though. I had a deadline because my wife told me, okay, we're buying this new house. This move will be complete before you leave town because I am not doing this on my own. So we had a self-imposed deadline of getting it done this week because I leave next week for my my fishing trip. It's going to be great.
And
I'll tell you this because everybody has asked me this. Well, what's it cost to go fishing in Alaska? And in general, I can't answer that question. I don't know if the trip we're taking is more expensive or less expensive than you might be able to go find somewhere. These guys have been doing this for a few years. They know some of the guides up there. But
and they couldn't answer your question either.
Well, here's the deal. It's going to be in the ballpark of probably $3,500 with airfare, I would guess.
Worth it.
I would guess because the airfare is over $1,000 to get to Anchorage. You just can't get there any cheaper than that,
right?
He
has to go south to go north.
So I'm flying through Dallas. Some of the guys are flying through like Seattle or somewhere like that.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, we all went and booked our own separate airfare. A couple of the guys had miles or whatever. One of them's flying first class. I'm flying coach. I'll travel with two bags. One will be the bag with my clothes and fishing gear in it. The other one will be a cooler so that I can have a cooler to fly back with the fish in it. That will be filled with beverage on the way up so that we can finish that and then empty it and then fly
the
fish
back.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's going to be.
What a great experience that it's going to be. And hopefully all your air travel happens perfectly. You've been to Alaska before or no?
First trip ever. So it's fitting that I can go up and help defend the borders of the United States against foreign incursion and fish at the same time. Because I will be armed because there are bears up there.
And America thanks you very much. You know what? Curious, because you've already done the homework, what are you bringing as your sidearm? I almost said side piece. Oh my gosh. your sidearm. And how do you travel with that? Just for people.
I haven't recovered from that comment yet. I'll take my Glock 20, which is a 10 millimeter.
There you go.
And it's traveling it to places like Alaska and Montana with a gun is super easy because everybody carries one up there. So it's just like a no big deal. You have to get to the airport a little early. You have to make sure the gun is in a locked case inside of your luggage. You have to make sure the ammunition stored separately from the gun inside of your luggage. And you have to declare it. You can't go to the curbside luggage drop off. You have to go inside to the desk and declare to them that you're flying with a firearm, and then they tag it so that the TSA knows. And then if they have any questions, they come and you have to wait. They'll come and find you. And sometimes they have you open it up. Sometimes they don't. And then off you go. So, any luck, it all arrives in time.
My algorithms, real quick. Do you have one of those cool chest holsters that
I do?
You're
oh yeah.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
Oh dude. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to get one. I got to be like Mark. Be like the big fish.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Aiden Johnston with Gun Owners of America about the Kamala Harris run for president and what that could mean for your Second Amendment rights. We'll be right back.
It is.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Alongside Mark Cox, my name is Bo Matthews, and Carl Middleman, our executive producer, put this whole thing together. We thank you for listening. The sponsorship of this segment is, of course, Razorback Armory. They've been sponsoring the show for a long time. So if you are looking to level up your game, we would really appreciate you stopping into the store. It is a wonderful place if you want to suppress a firearm, or you're searching for a firearm, or you want to modify one. Go talk to Jesse and Brad and the crew there. They'll take good care of you. Find them at RazorbackArmory.com and also in De Pere on Manchester Road.
Yep.
All right. Lots going on in the world. And we'd love to lean on Aiden Johnston. He's the Director of Federal Affairs for the Gun Owners of America. And we have, the news cycle's about, 11 minutes now, Mark? You're the lead on that.
Yeah, about every 11 minutes it changes. There's something new out there. Obviously, what's happened with the president stepping away from the nomination because That's of right. his age and his inability to handle the job anymore, right? And he can still be president. He just can't run for president. We're expected to believe that. And now we've got potentially a candidate in Kamala Harris who's ready to double down on what was already a pretty heavy assault on the Second Amendment by Joe Biden, who talked about, trying to ban guns. And Aiden, I think maybe that's where we start this week. Welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to get you on here again. You know, the very first thing, one of the very first things Kamala Harris did, and I went back and listened to a bunch of her stuff from 2019 and 2020 when she last ran for president, was go to the issue of gun control. Hit it, Carl.
And now, Wisconsin, the baton is in our hands. We, who believe that every person in our nation who should have the freedom to live safe from the terror of gun violence, will finally pass red flag laws, universal background checks, and an assault weapons ban.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, the most liberal member of the United States Senate when she was there. That means to the left of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, Aiden. So here we go again.
No, Kamala Harris is absolutely a radical when it comes to gun control. You just heard her right there. She wants to pass a national gun confiscation law to allow the government to take your guns, and then you can go to court to get your guns back. So you get the due process later. I mean, that is a radical thing. Taking your firearms with an assault weapons ban. These are commonly owned self-defense firearms like AR-15s that she wants to confiscate from you with that gun confiscation law. And when she says universal background checks, everyone has to remember that that's only enforceable with national gun registration, which is included in any universal background check procedure. So gun registration, gun confiscation, and finally a ban. That's what Kamala Harris wants.
You know what, Aiden? I'm glad that you said self-defense firearms, because that's the way I look at my firearms. I do not look at them as assault weapons. And we can look at examples around the world of countries who have banned firearms, and where did that get them? This is a scary time because, you know, everything's in flux. It just feels like the country is vibrating right now. And if they were to use the 25th Amendment to remove Joe Biden before the election and before the end of his term, what do you think that looks like for us? And what are you guys doing to fight?
Well, like you said, the news cycle's been changing like crazy. And I think Joe Biden just admitted he's unfit to serve another 4 years. I think he's unfit to serve right now. And Kamala Harris is obliged to use the 25th Amendment to remove him from office. Now, that would be a very interesting situation should it happen, because then she would immediately become the president. And she would need to appoint a vice president. And that would have to go through the confirmation process, which would be very bloody and messy in Washington, D.C., and it would also take her off the campaign trail. So that would just be an insane situation. I don't think she would have enough time to take control of this administration to really weaponize it to her own personal gun control means and desires. But certainly if she was given 4 years and the time to take office, it's going to be really bad. I mean, you got to remember that Joe Biden, when he picked, he had one person to put in charge of the brand new White House Office of Gun Control, and he picked Kamala Harris, and then she went out and hired anti-gun lobbyists from Giffords and Moms Demand Action and Everytown for Gun Safety and made them her chief advisors for this new office. So she is really anti-gun.
We learned something on this program. Okay, I didn't realize that if she does become president before the end of this term, Mark, you can chime in on this too. I thought since Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, was third in line, he doesn't move in right as vice president.
No,
there would be a selection.
She would get to name her own vice president.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Like, see, we're learning things on this program.
Just like she will anyway. And I think they'd have to be Senate approved, but you know who she's being pushed on her right now is Mark Kelly. Gabby Gifford's husband, who's the senator from the state of Arizona, because they want to win Arizona, and they see that as one way to do it. He's managed to win down there in what used to be a red state, is now a very much a purple state. And you talk about a leader in the gun control arena because of the tragedy with Gabby Giffords. That then you've got it times two, right, Aiden?
Wow. Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, then you've just got, the husband of an anti-gun lobbyist, someone who dedicated her career to infringing on our Second Amendment, that gets to be right there in the White House every single day, reporting on what the president's doing, coming up with ideas, suggesting new policies at the very highest level. It'd be incredibly dangerous to put Senator Mark Kelly into that position of the vice presidency, and that's something we're extremely concerned about, and every gun owner should be, too.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's definitely something that you have to pay attention to. So do we want to talk about the attempted assassination, Mark, on the situation?
I think we do, because it didn't take 5 minutes. So they had opening statements when they had the Secret Service director testifying. So, of course, James Comer started up, and then The guy from New Jersey, his name's escaping me right now, has an
Raskin.
Raskin, yeah. He has an opportunity to do his opening statement, and he immediately mentions AR-15 and gun control in the same sentence. So he immediately blamed the gun and not the criminal who borrowed it, stole it, whatever you want to say, from his father who bought it legally. That must be the problem. The gun must be the problem.
Yeah, I mean, Representative Raskin actually rebranded this failed assassination attempt on Donald Trump as a quote-unquote AR-15 attack, as if an AR-15 just got out of bed one morning and went to shoot the President of the United States, and ignores all the inflammatory rhetoric that the left has produced, calling President Trump literally Hitler or going to be a dictator on day one, that incited these kinds of people to commit this kind of violence and say, no, we got to protect our democracy from this threat and kill President Donald Trump. What a horrible thing that we've had to go through as a country. And I haven't even seen the left actually turn down their rhetoric and stop this madness. So I think that was an insane situation. And it's wild to me that the left thinks we need more gun control when even the Secret Service couldn't protect the president fully from this kind of situation.
It seems there was a lot of missteps, and of course they admitted that when Secret Service Director was on the stand, and then the local law enforcement, we got a little bit more. I watched almost all of it, and then I was really engaged in the Director Ray from the FBI, because there were certain things that were admitted or talked about, at least in their thought. But man, I text a buddy of mine. I'm like, it's amazing when you hear from the left on that committee. I wasn't even watching it necessarily, but when you hear them talking about gun control and the AR, it's like, oh my gosh, no, let's talk about the attempt of the assassination of Donald Trump. That's what we're here to talk about. And they kept trying to put the politics into it. And I got so mad watching it.
No, it's incredibly frustrating. Actually, at the hearing with FBI Director Ray, anti-gunner Eric Swalwell was trying to bait the FBI director into saying, if we had an assault weapons ban, then the guy would have had to use a bolt action, and therefore he would have got off fewer rounds. But he couldn't explain the difference between a semi-automatic firearm and a bolt action firearm, and it took him like 30 seconds before the FBI director had to jump in. I mean, these people know nothing, and they will still do anything they can to take away your Second Amendment or blame guns and advocate for an assault weapons ban, even though what we need right now is accountability from the Secret Service, an investigation from the FBI, and transparency for the American people. They still want gun control.
Well, it's true, and there's no way you can look at what happened. Maybe if you're not a person of faith, and not understand that was divine intervention, because from that distance, with an AR round, from that distance with a 30-06 or a, you wouldn't a 270, you wouldn't need a huge round. I think my daughter, my 15-year-old daughter, who shot some but not much, could have made that shot. I mean, it's just a miracle that Donald Trump was not killed.
Yeah, and that is not a high-quality firearm that the shooter was using. You know, that gun is not that precise. So the bullet going into his ear, you know, maybe it was an inch at most off from seriously injuring or killing the president, and that rifle is not that accurate. So just with the barrel and the tolerances of this firearm, that was the difference between the president dying and the president surviving the situation. It is absolutely a miracle, like you said.
You know, there is a lot of questions, Mark, and you and I have not talked, you know, privately about this, and I would love to, you know, have a conversation with you, but you're Mark Cox. I'm just kidding. There are some things that I learned. Don't shake your head.
You're killing me.
I learned some things from Jack Posobiec, or however you say his name. He was on Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
He said that that firearm did not have an optic on it. It didn't have a scope on it. It was shot with iron sights, and that kind of baffled me. Because why? I had my recent hunt with Ted Nugent. Well, iron sights at that distance, and that accuracy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can say what you want about the firearm, and Aiden, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But an AR-15 is not an M16. But you know, like my dad when he was in the military used an M1, a Grand, right? And they had to hit a man-sized target at 400 yards with iron sights. So the fact that there were iron sights, I don't think adds or detracts from the fact that he missed at that distance. I mean, it's just it should have been just as accurate at that distance with iron sights. Maybe the dad's an old-fashioned type or something with the gun.
I don't know. I just thought it was odd. And the placement of the firearm from the images of the guy's body, and then the gun is like 10 feet away from him. I don't understand. There's so many things that we don't understand still.
Yeah, well, I mean, back to the original question regarding what we saw this weekend. And I mean, it what we've heard from Kamala Harris and the speeches now about gun control. Aiden, to wrap this thing up and put a bow on it, if a national politician stood up for a minute and replaced any of the BS that they're serving to the American public about the First Amendment, about restricting their First Amendment rights instead of their Second Amendment rights, people would be in the streets right now. And everybody loses that perspective because all they talk about is big, scary black guns, and they don't think about the fact that it is a constitutional right for you to keep and bear arms.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the Second Amendment is extremely important. It's the amendment that lets us protect all the rest. We're not going to lose our First Amendment as long as we have a second. So it's incredibly important. It's very important that gun owners get out and vote this election and vote against the kind of tyrannical gun control that Kamala Harris and whoever she picks as her vice president are going to be proposing. Because if you thought Joe Biden banning 40 million pistols, banning Polymer 80s, going after gun stores with a zero tolerance policy, and enacting back to universal background checks was bad, give us 8 years of Kamala Harris, and it's going to be way worse.
Amen.
Aiden Johnston, thank you so much for your time. If you want to learn more and follow this story as you're listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, head to gunowners.org, and you can follow along on their plan of action for defeating Kamala Harris. Aiden, thank you so much for your time. We'll get you on again real soon as this ever-changing news cycle happens, okay?
It's been great chatting with you guys.
Yep. Thank you very much, Aiden. Great getting you on again. Coming up, you remember Alec Baldwin? He's been had charges dropped in that Russ case. We're going to readdress that with our buddy Frankie Cambaletta coming up, local filmmaker, right after this break on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. You know, I have to say, Bo Matthews, you cannot have a show produced by Carl Middleman without a little bit of music trivia.
Well, what's your music trivia?
44 years ago this week, ACD's Back in Black was released, the album.
I thought your T-shirt that you wear on the radio show influences Carl's musical choices.
It was coincidence.
Pure coincidence. I'm wearing an AC/DC shirt today.
Or some people call it serendipity.
But this is for the Rock and Bus Tour, which was the last time they were in St. Louis. And I'm hoping they come back. Right now they're in Europe, and I'm hoping they schedule some U.S. dates.
Because Brian Johnson can hear and sing.
Yes. And I want to hear them one more time.
44 years. Man,
44
that's
years.
Amazing.
They were Back in Black.
I was 12.
I was 9.
All right. Tell you what, you know, we paid a lot of attention. What was it, a year and a half ago, with the shooting on the set of the movie Rust? There were charges filed. There were charges dropped. There were charges refiled. There was, I believe, a guilty verdict on one of the producers on set, the lady that was in charge of the guns.
The armorer.
Her title escaped me. And now, most recently, Alec Baldwin was charged again, and then that case got thrown out. I don't know what's going to happen next, but Frankie Cambaletta, nice enough to give us some more time today. He's a filmmaker, and we had him on originally to talk about this Rust case way back when. Frankie, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you guys doing this morning?
I'm doing good. So I guess, first of all, just your reaction to the fact that it's seemingly out of the blue, these charges against Alec Baldwin just got dropped.
They did. They got squandered. They're saying the prosecution had squandered some evidence that would lead to Alec's innocence or make him look better in court, is what they're saying. But if you remember the timeline, right? So January 2023, we have Hannah Gutierrez Reed. She was formally charged with involuntary manslaughter. So she gets charged, right, for being the armorer on the set. And then in April 2023, right, so prior to that, we had the dismiss of the initial charges. So this is what, so Baldwin's clear and free in April, but then in January, Gutierrez gets, she gets charged with involuntary manslaughter. And then just recently, Baldwin is indicted again in January of 2024. So this year, and we're all like, okay, cool. Finally, somebody's going to pay for Hutchins' death, along with the, you know, the director, who's also inflicted by the bullet as well. And we have yet to hear from the director. But once again, I mean, this is Hollywood elites. This is the elitists that we keep talking about. They're on both sides of the aisle, right? But at the same time, in Hollywood, you know, Alec Baldwin, the Baldwin family, I mean, I don't know how this gets really dismissed or thrown out. He is still the producer of the film. And this, if this was my film, I'd be in jail. We'd be having a collect call from Missouri State Prison, and it would be me on the phone with you guys. Anybody else, though, right? And then, of course, the case was dismissed because of what they're saying is. And you have to understand, too, when they say with prejudice, that means it could never be retried again. So I just want to be clear on that. And this judge dismissed it with prejudice, which means he's free. He's going to walk. He's going to be back on Saturday Night Live making fun of the only president that's good for this country, because that's what he does. That's what the left does. They sit on a throne of lies. And that is why my company, from Haunted Garage's radio show to the Shift Films Company, we do not associate with the left. And we've turned away from big contracts from major Hollywood studios because we're not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to be a part of Hutchins's. I went to go visit her grave in 2022 with my fiance. We went to, yeah, and we left flowers. And it's one of the coolest cemeteries there. She's not far from Swayze. Patrick Swayze's right there. And then right across, I think, is the, you know, you have the, I'm forgetting the punk band right now. The Ramones. The Ramones are buried right by her. And Burt Reynolds is in there. And so she is with the some stars that we all grew up with. But at the same time, somebody cut down like that is ridiculous. At 43 years old, that's just ridiculous to be Frankie, dead and her career is just blossoming.
I'm glad you said what you did, because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And, you know, in this, you know, even Hollywood is so political, you know, it seems like the right is not getting much out. But behind the scenes, though, in this instance, do you truly believe that Alec Baldwin should have been found guilty and been serving prison time for maybe the rest of his life?
From the perspective that, I mean, everybody on this, on your show, which we listen to avidly, you know, we're Second Amendment guys. We're shooters. We go to the range.
I
have an 1883 Cattleman. And I know that gun, if you place it too hard, and it's a Beretta, you can place it too hard on the damn table and it'll go off. So I don't fault him from the fact that I don't know why they're using live rounds. They're saying that, and the other thing that they're propping this up against, I don't want to take all the time, but they're propping up this against this is a prop gun. prop guns can't load real ammunition. If you want to talk about the Crow case with Brandon Lee, okay, that was a prop gun, but it was never cleaned. And so discharged element was in there. And so when the fire happened, he was hit by shrapnel that was collected in the barrel because it was never cleaned. This is an actual bullet that killed her. This is an actual live round. And I get the character actors wanting to use this. But let's just be clear. Clint Eastwood made over 20 Western films and nobody got shot.
Good point.
Okay? This is ridiculous that this has happened. I think from a producer standpoint, he should have been charged. From an actor standpoint, I can have that he didn't have ill intent to kill her. There's no reason to kill her. But at the same time, if you hit somebody with your car tomorrow and they die, you're facing involuntary manslaughter. But if you're a Hollywood elite, you just get to walk. Yeah. You just get to walk, especially if you're in St. Louis. I mean, you'll walk on anything there.
Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth.
Well.
yeah. So back to that for just a minute, because I've struggled with that a little bit, with him being charged after being handed a gun that somebody else was responsible, the armor was responsible for loading, correct?
And she was charged.
And as the filmmaker, you mentioned the many Westerns that we've seen over the years and the other shoot 'em ups and Matrix and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. In those shows, I'm sure at some point an actor turns and points the gun directly at the camera for effect. You're right. It hasn't happened very often. It happened in this case. And so you think that he should have been held responsible as the producer, because as a producer yourself, ultimately, everything on the production comes back to you, right? That's where the buck stops.
100%. And that is my role on the film that I'm doing here. We're going to do the reenactments for the Lemp film here in November. And we actually own the gun that was the actual gun that was in March 20th, 1920, who everybody knows, Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. He's looked at, he's investigated it. I mean, the gun is clean. But at the same time, I use Tarlow on my sets, man, because he is one of the most clean gun safety guys. We don't even keep ammunition on the set. Also, they never did any shielding because the budget was so low. And what shielding is basically you're going to put up
This break on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I have to say, Bo Matthews, you cannot have a show produced by Carl Middleman without a little bit of music trivia.
Well, what's your music trivia?
44 years ago this week, AC/DC's Back in Black was released, the album.
I thought your T-shirt that you wear on the radio show influences Carl's musical choices.
It was coincidence.
Pure coincidence. I'm wearing an AC/DC shirt today.
Or some people call it serendipity.
But this is for the Rock and Bus Tour, which was the last time they were in St. Louis. And I'm hoping they come back. Right now they're in Europe, and I'm hoping they schedule some U.S. dates.
Because Brian Johnson can hear and sing.
Yes. And I want to hear them one more time.
44 years. Man,
44
that's
years.
Amazing.
They were Back in Black.
I was 12.
I was 9.
All right. Tell you what. We paid a lot of attention, what was it, a year and a half ago, the shooting on the set of the movie Rust. There were charges filed. There were charges dropped. There were charges refiled. There was, a guilty verdict on one of the producers on set, the lady that was in charge of the guns.
The armorer.
Her name, her title escaped me. And now, most recently, Alec Baldwin was charged again, and then that case got thrown out. I don't know what's going to happen next, but Frankie Cambaletta, nice enough to give us some more time today. He's a filmmaker, and we had him on originally to talk about this Rust case way back when. Frankie, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you guys doing this morning?
I'm doing good. So I guess, first of all, just your reaction to the fact that it's seemingly out of the blue, these charges against Alec Baldwin just got dropped.
They did. They got squandered. They're saying the prosecution had squandered some evidence that would lead to Alec's innocence or make him look better in court, is what they're saying. But if you remember the timeline, right? So January 2023, we have Hannah Gutierrez-Reed. She was formally charged with involuntary manslaughter. So she gets charged, right, for being the armorer on the set. And then in April 2023, right, so prior to that, we had the dismiss of the initial charges. So this is what – so Baldwin's clear and free in April. But then in January, Gutierrez gets – she gets charged with involuntary manslaughter. And then just recently – Baldwin is indicted again in January of 2024, so this year, and we're all like, okay, cool, finally somebody's going to pay for Hutchins' death, along with the, you know, the director, who was also inflicted by the bullet as well. And we have yet to hear from the director. But once again, I mean, this is Hollywood elites. This is the elitists that we keep talking about. They're on both sides of the aisle, right? But at the same time, in Hollywood, you know, Alec Baldwin, the Baldwin family, I mean, I don't know how this gets really dismissed or thrown out. He is still the producer of the film. And this, if this was my film, I'd be in jail. We'd be having a collect call from Missouri State Prison, and it would be me. Wow. On the phone with you guys. Anybody else, though, right? And then, of course, the case was dismissed because of what they're saying is. And you have to understand, too, when they say with prejudice, that means it could never be retried again. So I just want to be clear on that. And this judge dismissed it with prejudice, which means he's free. He's going to walk. He's going to be back on Saturday Night Live making fun of the only president that's good for this country, because that's what he does. That's what the left does. They sit on a throne of lies, and that is why my company, from Haunted Garage's radio show to the Shift Films Company, we do not associate with the left. And we've turned away from big contracts from major Hollywood studios because we're not going to be a part of that. Not going to be a part of Hutchins's. I went to go visit her grave in 2022 with my fiance. We went to, yeah, and we left flowers. And it's one of the coolest cemeteries there. She's not far from Swayze. Patrick Swayze's right there. And then right across, I think, is the, you know, you have the, forgetting the punk band right now, the Ramones. The Ramones are buried right by her, and Burt Reynolds is in there. And so she is with the some stars that we all grew up with. But sure, at the same time, sure. Somebody cut down like that is ridiculous. At 43 years old, that's just ridiculous to be Frankie, dead, and her career is just blossoming.
I'm glad you said what you did, because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And, uh-huh. You know, in this, you know, even Hollywood is so political, you know, the it seems like the right is not getting much out. But behind the scenes, though, in this instance, do you truly believe that Alec Baldwin should have been found guilty and been serving prison time for maybe the rest of his life?
From the perspective that, I mean, everybody on this, on your show, which we listen to avidly, you know, we're Second Amendment guys. We're shooters. We go to the range. That's right. I have an 1883 Cattleman. And I know that that gun, if you place it too hard, and it's a Beretta, you can place it too hard on the damn table and it'll go off. So I don't fault him from the fact that I don't know why they're using live rounds. They're saying that, and the other thing that they're propping this up against, I don't want to take all the time, but they're propping up this against this is a prop gun. Prop guns can't load real ammunition. If you want to talk about the Crow case with Brandon Lee, okay, that was a prop gun, but it was never cleaned. And so discharged right. element was in there. And so when the fire happened, he was hit by shrapnel that was collected in the barrel because it was never cleaned. This is an actual bullet that killed her. This is an actual live round. And I get the character actors wanting to use this. But let's just be clear. Clint Eastwood made over 20 Western films and nobody got shot.
Good point.
Okay. This is ridiculous that this has happened. I think from a producer standpoint, he should have been charged. From an actor standpoint, I can have that he didn't have ill intent to kill her. There's no reason to kill her. But at the same time, if you hit somebody with your car tomorrow and they die, you're facing involuntary manslaughter. But if you're a Hollywood elite, you just get to walk. Yeah. You just get to walk, yeah. Especially if you're in St. Louis. I mean, you'll walk on anything there.
Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth.
Well.
yeah. So back to that for just a minute, because I've struggled with that a little bit, with him being charged after being handed a gun that somebody else was responsible, the armor was responsible for loading,
yes.
Correct?
And she was charged.
And
yes.
and as the filmmaker, you mentioned the many Westerns that we've seen over the years and the other shoot 'em ups and Matrix and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. In those shows, I'm sure at some point an actor turns and points the gun directly at the camera for effect. It you're right. It hasn't happened very often. It happened in this case. And
yeah.
So you think that he should have been held responsible as the producer, because as a producer yourself, ultimately everything on the production comes back to you, right? That's where the buck stops.
100%. And that okay. is my role on the film that I'm doing here. We're going to do the reenactments for the Lump film here in November. And we actually own the gun that was the actual gun that was in March 20th, 1920, who everybody knows, Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. He's looked at, he's investigated it. I mean, the gun is clean, but at the same time, I use Tarlow on my sets, man, because he is one of the most clean gun safety guys. We don't even keep ammunition on the set. Also, they never did any shielding because the budget was so low. And what shielding is basically you're going to put up basically a piece of bulletproof glass in front of that camera in the off chance that you do get shrapnel or you do have something coming out of that. And nobody's standing there. That's a remote. They should have never been in front of that weapon. I understand that cinematographers like to be, and remember too, that in Hollywood we have laws, right? A cinematographer cannot touch a camera, okay? So cinematographer, she was actually not on the camera. Okay, she had a camera operator who also could have been killed. Where she was standing was directly behind the camera operator where she got hit and the director got hit. So remember, how the union works in Hollywood is a cinematographer never touches a camera. I think this is another thing that's a common misconception about. Cinematographers are the ones that kind of set up scenes. They want to see this and they talk to a camera operator. It's like, hey, I need this to be low light, high exposure. I need this to be certain ways. I want this dark. And they're giving direction to a camera operator because technically you're not allowed to be working a camera if you're a cinematographer because that's a SAG law. So there are certain things that in the areas of this set. If you looked at the articles from 2022 and 2023 on how terrible this set was, that allegedly the night before they were all at a shooting range using Alex's gun. Now, whether he was a part of that or not is terrible. But when you're on a set with you have high frustration, you're in the middle of nowhere, you're not, your lapse in judgment is there. And if you're a character actor like Alec Baldwin is, and I truly believe in my heart that I don't think he would ever intend to kill somebody, but he has to be held responsible for something. And he's not. He's not held responsible for anything. He doesn't owe any money. He doesn't have any money going to that family. Nothing. Like, it's insane that this guy, we see this all the time with elites. It's unbelievable. No. But they're above the law, man. They want to talk about Trump being above the law? That's above the law. That's an actual felony. So, you know,
Frankie,
it's unbelievable.
Now, can there be a civil case from her from the family of the deceased?
They can bring up wrongful death, which is what O.J. Simpson, if you remember back in the 90s,
that's right.
Was charged with.
That's what made me think of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what New Mexico's laws are. You would have to, you know, I would use one of the criminal lawyers in town. I mean, Joel Schwartz is incredible at criminal law. He could actually probably speak to that better than I could. Like I said, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a producer. So we know the laws that we need to go on set and be safe.
Right.
Once again, anytime you're involving any, I mean, swords, man, I mean, knives. I mean, Starfire is one of the biggest sword companies out there. And Starfire, every one of those swords is used from Lord of the Rings to The Hobbit. It's all Starfire swords. So those swords are blunt, but they look sharp because of the way they cut into the metal. But sure. If you get hit with that thing, you're dying. It's blunt steel.
Right.
So it's everything, having the right choreography. And I feel really bad for Hannah Gutierrez Reed. But once again, I mean, she was charged. But once again, nobody knows who she is. Ron, yeah. Right? You know what I'm saying? But she was charged for, you know, she was the armor on the set. I mean, and technically that does fall on you, but it should fall on the producer as well. I'm going to stand by that as well.
Well, yeah, you know, Frankie Cambaletti with us, local filmmaker, shiftfilms.net is the website. After this happened, I know we spoke to you about it. We also spoke to actor John Schneider, who's also been in the directing role and producing mm-hmm. role. And he was of the opinion at the time that what happened there would spur them to start actually using After Effects editing to CGI to put in the gun being fired to avoid something like this happening in the future. Do you buy into that?
No, I think it's writer's rule. So it's at the same time, like, I think that, like, you know, The Rock has made public statements. I mean, all these big tough guys that want to say, well, guns are terrible, but every movie they're in, like Jason Bourne,
yeah.
There's a good
yeah,
example,
right.
Matt Damon, great example of a guy that hates guns, but every movie he's in, he has a gun. So it's like,
yeah.
You know, at some point, you know, you have to, I understand, like, using, you know, there's ways of doing it, but, you know, when you look at a John Wick film, okay, there's like 15 of those now. I don't know. There's like five, I think. But or they're making part five. They never have a problem on set.
No.
They never have a problem on set. This is irresponsibility. And how long has we been using guns in movies? Like, okay, The Crow was a bad incident, and then this one, right? Crow makes total sense. That's the armorer's fault. Like, you didn't clean the gun. But in this particular case, so you're going to get rid of everything that we've been doing in Hollywood, to, especially for character actors. I think we've talked about this before. Those guys want the weight of the gun. They want to feel the power behind it. And anybody that's, you know, smelled, you know, that smell of gunfire and
right.
gunpowder and sulfur, that kind of enlightens the fact that, like, as a character actor, like, that is essentially doing away with someone, right? A gun has an intent, right? A gun is not something that we play with, right? We treat every gun as a loaded weapon, even if it's a water gun. These are the things that we do in our classes that we take, that I know Southern Armory offers. I mean, Tarlo was my gun instructor, and that guy taught me everything. He says, I don't care if it's a plastic water gun from Walmart. You treat it like a real gun. You never point it at anybody. And I just think that there was a lot of open trust into the Alec Baldwin set, but I didn't
yes.
think realize what was going on mentally on that set was really happening, right? I think that people were just sidestepping. They were cutting costs. And that's what I'm saying. That's where the producer should be held responsible. Like, why don't you have this stuff right, ready and in order?
Well, speaking of producing, I do want to mention the fact that Shift Films you're about to release Limp's Last Rite.
Yes, finally, yes. Yeah. Cinema St. Louis and Brie and, you know, all the good people that are in this town that respect, you know, our company and what we stand for. And that's always been a thing in St. Louis. You know, regardless of where, what aisle you stand on, I mean, film is still more important than people's opinions and views. So we are generously going to be premiering that at my favorite theater. And if you haven't been to High Point, the best popcorn in the world is at High Point
Carl
theater.
Would agree. He's nodding.
Love it.
It's so weird. I don't know what it is. Like, even my daughter's like, can we go to High Point to just get popcorn? They just start, like, packing that thing in Schnucks. But,
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so it's like we're going to be there right on the anniversary of her death, right around March 21st. So more details coming out. All the people that have tickets are actually going to go in for free. All the VIP, they'll all be upgraded. So I'm not too worried about that. But we are going to have more openings because I think the first show is going to be sold out. Because,
oh, I'm sure.
You know, we'll be showing that all around St. Louis. And then hopefully we'll be winning. Well, we will win at True False. That has been the point of taking 10 years to do this film and vetting everybody and making sure that we're not, you know, using something from a ghost store, but rather from the archives.
And just, Frankie, just tie it up in a nice bow for anybody listening going, what film is he talking about? What's the name of it? What's it about? Real quick.
Yeah, sure. It's Lemp's Last Rite, and it's basically about the suicide / murder of Elsa Lemp Wright, who was the youngest baby daughter of the William Lemp family. Of course, everybody knows the four suicides in the immediate family. She's one of them. It happens in Central West End, so we're actually exploring just that case. We will touch the other things, but it's mostly about Elsa, the life she lived, and the life that was cut too short.
Wow. Well, we'll look forward to that. Frankie Campbelletta, we always appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you for your support.
Anytime, guys. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, shiftfilms.net. You can go there and find out more information on Limp's Last Rite.
I'm trying to think. There was a song called Shift Work, and was it Kenny Chesney? I think it was called Shift Work, and it was great. And I was going to mention it to him, but he's gone, so I can't do that anymore.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I'll text him and tell him. George Strait did it, and Kenny Chesney and George Strait. You got to hear that song. Just let's do it on your way home.
He's a car guy, so yes, he probably knows that.
Well, anyway, yeah. Okay, Shift Films. It's like, I shipped my pants. What?
Hey!
You remember that ad campaign? Oh, boy. Okay. Are we done? We're done. Have a great rest of your weekend. Stay cool, and thanks for listening. Share the show.
We'll see you next time around on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Have a good time in Alaska. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.